Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can find us online at stayontargetpodcast.com.
That's right.
This is episode number 98.
Oh, man.
We're fast approaching episode 100.
Is it really 98?
It's 98.
Like in two episodes.
Yeah, in two.
No, three episodes.
The third episode will be, no, wait. No. There's next week, and then we're doing it.
What?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Okay, so on the special guest couch is returning guest Ike.
Woo!
The last time you were here was whenever Chris was gone somewhere. Who knows where Chris goes? And we were doing the Destiny.
Who knows where I go?
Nobody knows. Dude.
Oh yeah, the Destiny review. I wasn't even here for that.
Yeah, it was like it's the only episode that you weren't on.
And now Ike doesn't even play anymore.
In 98 episodes, you've only missed one. And Ike was the co-host that time.
That's true. Right.
That's great. Yeah.
So what was the number you were?
So the score is me 98, you 97, Ike 1.
That's right. How have you missed two?
I'm on the board, folks. I am on the board.
I haven't missed two. We're on episodes. At this point. Yes. I've done 98. Chris has done 97. Well, Ike has
you
done
are,
one.
You know, you're higher than some people on the list.
You're higher. Like, if you were to just walk out into a crowd of people, you would be higher than them.
Yes.
I mean, people do recognize me on the streets. So.
That's good.
It's good.
Probably
it's good.
Not from this podcast.
Oh, yeah, right. Mainly because it's a purely audio podcast, and no one would know what you would look like.
People hear you in the supermarket. They turn around like, please talk again.
Wait a second. I hear in the next row.
It's the timbre. It's that timbre. I've heard that before.
He was on some Destiny review.
All right.
That soothing voice. Please come talk to me while I sleep.
Right. Read to me.
So what have you guys been up to this week?
Oh, man. Dude, I made an addition to my pop collection.
Ooh.
The Incredible Hulk from the...
Pop, as in pop figurines.
Yes, as in pop
not
figurines.
Not soda.
Not pop. Yeah, like if I had a soda pop collection, wouldn't that be super weird?
I'd have a tasting
I would love
party.
It. Like, well, I mean, at that point, it's like things become super valuable because it's like over the years, what if they don't make that soda anymore?
Dude, I used to collect that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Like soda?
Yeah. Closed sodas, yeah.
That's
do you still have them?
No.
Oh.
What if the expert...
I was going to say we should drink them all.
Yeah.
Because the cans looked awesome and I thought, well, let's just keep them, you know, not open because then they're worth more.
Well, why would that?
We just kept them. Just like tried our best, but
where are they now?
Oh, they're just thrown away.
Well, I was about to say if you find any of them,
Oh, yeah.
We need to bring them on the show, and
I will drink
really
it.
Cool,
and we
cool
will
ones,
drink
like
it.
Old Pepsi ones, like that's with cool. old logos.
I don't
stuff.
Even care if they're out of date. We're drinking them, and like we did a review of Surge whenever it came back.
We did
on the podcast.
We will have a certified paramedic nearby.
That's amazing. There's lots
we'll
of slurping
right outside
on that,
the emergency room door.
Right? Yeah, we will be at the hospital.
I love it. But my pop the pop figurine is the Hulk. From Age of Ultron, it just hit the comic shop, and so I picked it up today.
That's awesome!
That's awesome, yeah.
He looks super cool.
Yeah,
and super angry.
Yeah, he's really angry. There is an exclusive to Hot Topic who is the Savage Hulk, and he's got like these red things around his eyes, and
Hot
he's
Topic.
Like gray looking. Dude, actually, okay, this is the weird thing about Hot Topic. I've been in there to look for pops.
I go to Spencer's.
This is a new pitch for Hot Topic. They have these cool studded belts.
Well, like, no, but like, it's super strange that you go in there now and it's super different than it used to be. Like, it used to be like you go in there and it was the studded belts and but like, there's a lot of Disney merchandise in there.
What?
Now. Yeah.
No.
It's weird.
That's
I don't know.
Ridiculous.
No, it's
real,
totally
real
true.
Gothy.
Exactly.
Disney.
I don't know. There's like graphic tees and stuff. I don't know. Like, it's a different place. You should next time you see
it sounds
one.
Like a drastically different. I went there to get a Blink-182 t-shirt.
Right.
Yeah, the music is the same. You walk in and you still get screamed at by the heavy metal that they play. But there's like Disney
it's
merchandise.
It's a reenactment
like,
of Mickey Mouse as Ozzy Osbourne biting the head off of another
Well, there's like Lilo
character.
And Stitch stuff in there. There's like Little Mermaid stuff in there. And I mean, it's, you know, it's
I don't, yeah.
some cool stuff. But it's
what
like
what are the people
I was,
like in
I'm,
there?
Same as they always kind of were. So, I mean, I don't know, dude. It's an interesting place. But anyway, so that's what I've been up to. What have you guys been
I've
up
been
to?
Trying, I've been finding ways to manipulate EA Access.
I was about to say, space-time continuum? What are we talking about here?
I manipulate people for a living.
So
call me the manipulator. How so?
It's
explain
like
to us how you've been
Man,
doing that.
Well, I ever since Hardline came out last Thursday, and they allowed 10 hours of gameplay. Well, I filled that up quite fast.
Yeah.
And like, so what, day one? Yeah, by day two. And I was like, this is, you know, I'm pretty much feel like I'm a drug addict. I'm scratching myself trying to get, you know, whatever out. So I tried to find ways, and I was following somebody on Twitch, and this guy's like apparently played like, by that time he's played like 60 hours worth. Holy and everyone's moly. Like, how are you doing this? And so he was making new accounts on live, and he was signing up for EA Access, $5 for every 10 hours.
So would you have to pay for your new account on?
No. Okay. Not since they're
family sharing.
Yeah, well, it's not really family sharing, but yeah, that's that same concept where one console can have, I'm sure they limit it, but one console can have 8 gamer tags or whatever on.
Yeah, it's called gold sharing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
Dude. So how many hours were you in before the game actually came out?
Well, I filled up both sets of 10, so 20 hours, and then that was before launch.
That's amazing.
And I was still feeling the need.
I was online with you whenever it turned off in the middle of a match, and I was like, well, I guess I'll finish this thing. We were having a lot of fun, and then I just like drove around on a motorcycle the rest of the time, and nobody touched me.
Well, at least you didn't die.
No, yeah.
That's what I've been up to.
Cool. That's awesome.
That's awesome. What have you been up to, Chris?
I played a lot of iDarb a couple days ago, and I've 100%ed the achievements on that game. It's pretty awesome. I like it a lot. But I went over to someone's house, and we played 2-on-2, and it was for like 3 hours. It was
Is that
amazing.
The max, 2-on-2? I mean, can you...
No, you can do 8-on-8. No, hang on. Nope, that was
4
a lie.
4-on-4?
4-on-4.
Yeah.
8-on-8.
That'd be amazing.
Know.
That'd be so chaotic.
I don't either. I mean, everything's just an accident at that point. Like, whether
right, yeah.
you're getting the ball in or not.
I thought I've had the ball the whole time. Nope.
This was the first time, though, that I really like... that I've played, like... So I've played like 3-on-3 online, and it's just like super laggy, and so like, you know, the online component of that game is not great at all.
Yeah.
But this was the first time I played like locally, like 2-on-2, and it was a lot of fun. First time we used some of the tweetable hashtags, like they're called hash bombs, and so like there's this one like that makes the ball a bomb. There's this one that puts rainbows behind your characters. There's one that, like called Oktoberfest, hashtag Oktoberfest, and it floods the entire screen with alcohol, with beer,
nice. Yes.
And you're like floating up at the top. Right, you yeah. can't do anything. you're just like floating on top
right,
of it.
Right.
There's another one where there's just this a full moon and you all turn into werewolves. There is, let's see here. Oh, there's just a lot
you
of
turn
crazy
into
stuff.
How many bit werewolves?
I love how it gets creative, but then like you can't play more than whatever how many people like per Xbox. Like, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, we can't play all together because isn't it limited?
No.
You can now. You can, they've updated that.
Nice.
You can do 4-on-4. Oh, you mean like online?
Yeah, that update happens?
Yes. Yeah, you can do that. 2 against 2 online.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Okay.
Like, no. We're like, you could team up. Like, you could team up where, like, us three are in separate houses, but we're on the same team.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, you can't do that.
Okay. That's supposedly in the pipeline. Like, supposedly that's in the pipeline of what they want to do with the game.
It needs to be.
It really
does. I hope so, because...
I would geek out on that thing.
Yeah. I mean, and, like, it's so much fun. Like, there's the... I want to post the... there's a video of our last match, and the team I was on, we were down by... Wait. No, we were up by 1 point. The other team scores, and we're like, oh, man, we're down by 1 point. Like, or two, they got a 3, so we were down by 2 points. And then, so last second, 3 seconds to go, we get a 3-pointer, and we just, like, jump up. We're like, yeah.
That's amazing.
And then...
Throw the controller.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, it was amazing. So that's what I've been up to.
That's great. Yeah. That's great.
So later on, the reason that Ike is here is to import all of his Battlefield Hardline knowledge
to import.
Onto us.
I wish he could import all of his knowledge, his Battlefield Hardline. I could just be so awesome at the game.
Yes.
Or manipulate, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Any of that. So yeah. I can manipulate the controller.
The system.
So that's coming up later. But first,
the news!
The news! We're going to start with some movie news. First.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams might be coming back for episode 9.
Yes!
Yeah, so the Latino Review, purveyor of all leaks, and...
Dude, they're awesome with that. Like, they're on top of the news over there.
I know. Not everything they say is true, but, like, it's not a completely unlegit source.
Right.
I'm echoing out of these headphones.
Oh, here, let me turn those down.
Yeah. The Latino Review is reporting that Disney wants Star Wars The Force Awakens director J.J. Abrams to return and close out the sequel... and the trilogy. They said that Disney is reportedly happy with the footage they've seen thus far from The Force Awakens, and they want him back for episode 9. Who knows? Like, you know, they're positing that he will that they won't ask him officially until after they get the fans' reaction for episode 7.
Makes sense.
See if we all rage against J.J. Abrams.
Right.
Go burn down his house. And or if we were like, hey, he's a pretty cool dude.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like that's a good call. To maybe even just to keep it, like, I was questioning whether or not he should do the second one. So episode, what would it be, 8? Just because, like, I just want it to be kind of one tone, like, or to have some sort of consistency. Because, like, even if you look at the original trilogy, like, there's consistency there, obviously. And then if you look at the episode 1, 2, and 3, there's consistency there for the most part. But, you know, I just hope that this one has a trilogy worth of consistency.
I mean, you know, like, it was a different director for Empire Strikes Back. So, right. Like, you know, that's the middle one being different. It's not necessarily unprecedented. But, like, this is the thing. What if, you know, we watch episode 7, it's like, yeah, that was awesome. Great job. And then Rian Johnson does the episode 8, and we're like, even better job.
Yeah.
And then we go back to J.J. Abrams.
All right. That's a good point. That's a very good point.
But, like, I kind of saw them using J.J. Abrams as kind of like, hey, come in and set the tone for these. Let's see what you do, and we'll follow you from here on out.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a new Spectre poster. It's 007. Looking pretty cool.
Dude.
And a super dark, looks like almost, well, maybe it's jeans. It looks like cotton. Looks like an entire cotton outfit. It almost looks like he's wearing sweatpants.
So basically, if he sent it through the wash and then the dryer, like, it would be so small, like, so tiny, it would shrink.
Yeah, possibly. Didn't you say that you watched something about Spectre?
Yeah, it was just a teaser of the making of, and it was just kind of one scene that they were up in the mountains, and it was really cool. It just got me amped for, you know, for the release, but or for at least a teaser. So
that's pretty awesome.
Yep.
I'm excited. I really like this Bond.
Yeah.
I didn't at first, but it definitely the Skyfall totally got me on, dude. I don't know why, but
Skyfall is a great movie.
Yes, it is.
Well, awesome. It was really fun. It brought a lot of the fun back to like the Bond series with, like, some of the ridiculous action stuff that happened in it and, like, that whole thing. So I really hope they continue going that direction. Bring back some of the ridiculous things that Bond has done.
Yeah, I mean, I like, you know, we've seen, super realistic, and I'd love to see some, like, gadgets, new gadgets and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
Kind of go to, like, a more tech kind of feel.
Yeah.
Be super cool.
I feel like the ones right before it were, like, there was just way too much CGI that you could totally tell that was just a little bit over the top.
Yeah.
And this one was more, the tone of...
You mean,
like,
Pierce Brosnan, those...
Yeah.
Yes, those. Yes. Yeah. But the tone of this, like, even just, you know, the cinematography of it was just real way on more on the artsy side.
Yeah.
But it was really cool.
Definitely.
More Latino review news, leaks possibly, about Suicide Squad movie. All right, so they say the film Batman is some sort... Oh, wait. In the film, Batman is some sort of big boogeyman that the government really hates.
Yeah.
Prior to the events in Batman versus Superman, the Joker is the only one to really ever meet him or know him. That's why he's so important to Amanda Waller. Hmm. They have footage of Batman in action, which they watch. There's a bit of dialogue where they say Batman is the key to tracking down all the supers. So, the theory is...
That Suicide Squad is hunting down superheroes.
Suicide Squad is hunting down Joker.
Oh, what?
So, for his connection to Batman.
I see.
And, he's part of Suicide Squad, and he's the leader trying to get Batman, because they want to take down the rest of the superheroes.
Wow. I mean, this is a pretty, like, that's a pretty out there kind of situation, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but it's like, it has
basis. It's exciting.
Because, like, Batman does have this, like, big list of, like, okay, this is how you kill all the super people.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And, like, I mean, if we're looking at a world where there's a ton of them, and if we establish...
Well, we obviously are.
That's the only problem, like, that I see in this as a universe, and trying to kind of, you know, build a universe out of one movie, and because we've only seen Superman. And so, like, the only problem I have with it is that in that movie, it wasn't established that there were a ton of superheroes. And so it's like, if we immediately go into the sequel and there's just a ton of superheroes are running all over the place that the government's trying to shut down, I feel like that should have been a little bit more apparent in the Superman movie. Because like, at the end of that movie, they knew, you know, they were trying to watch Superman and that whole thing, but there wasn't really a big antagonistic relationship there. It was kind of like a, you know, hey, guys, stop watching me, you know, that sort of thing.
I mean, kind of, but think about what happened because of Superman. Like, two cities got destroyed.
That's true.
Like, millions of people died. These aliens came to the Earth looking for him. Like, to me, that seems like a pretty big threat.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of what happened in that movie.
And so it would make sense if they wanted to shut him down.
Also, the Suicide Squad will come after Batman versus Superman. We don't know what happens in that movie yet. And that's the one, like, I think the key to this entire franchise working is Batman versus Superman, because we're supposed to see Batman for the first time. We're going to see Wonder Woman. We're going to see Aquaman. Rumors that we might see The Flash. So, like, there's a lot of things hinging on this and how they introduce those characters. Now, things like Batman, he's supposed to have been around for a while, but, like, according to this, the only footage of him, there's only, like a little bit of footage of him. He's just kind of like this mysterious legend, almost. Like, they don't really know about him. And so, you know, we'll see how they introduce him, but it seems, I mean, I'm intrigued.
I'm intrigued excited by that plot line. That plot line sounds really fun. Yeah. You know, sounds like a good movie, good time.
Yeah. There's a new teaser for The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2. It's very anticlimactic. It's kind of a letdown, actually. It's just the logos from all the other movies and just quotes underneath.
So this is what people had posited that the Star Wars teaser could have been, like, where, like, people were saying, oh, they're not going to show anything. It's just going to be, you know, a voiceover or something like that. And so that's why people were super excited about the awesomeness of that Star Wars trailer. Well, so this is not that.
I was talking to a friend and, like, he made the point, okay, they've had this movie filmed for, like, 3 years now.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, why? There's footage somewhere. Why can't we see it?
Someone has footage rendered.
Yeah. Let's do a little better job getting that out there for everybody.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Threw me off. Oh, also, Shia LaBeouf has decided that he wants you to listen to his heartbeat. And so he has, it's a project called.
What in the world?
I don't know what it's called, but he announced.
Does it matter?
He announced it at Southwest. It's hashtag follow my heart. Let's see if I can get it working here so we can hear
Shia LaBeouf's heart. Is this in real time?
This is live, guys. This is.
That's super strange.
Here we go. That's Shia LaBeouf's heart.
How many BPM is that right now?
I have no idea. Yeah, we should send someone after him to chase him and see if his heart rate increases.
Right. Yeah, whenever he gets running.
Would it be hilarious too? Oh, not hilarious, gosh. But actually kind of fortuitous if by chance
someone hears a stop and they call 911.
Right.
Yeah, or like a doctor's listening to his heart. He's like, I think he has a condition.
It's an arrhythmia.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Here's an arrhythmia through the app or whatever. Yeah. That's hilarious.
That'd be wild.
So I want to know, like, what is he wearing constantly?
Is it just installed on it, or is it like, is it external? Like, I'm just thinking, like, because
it's some sort of pacemaker.
Well, because, like, yeah, you can have something put on, and that'll actually, if like people with a condition like that have had their heart stop before.
Oh yeah.
A lot of times they will put a defibrillator on your heart, and so, like, if your heart stops, they can restart your heart mobily. Like somebody will hear, you know, or with that's monitoring this, it'll automatically jumpstart your heart.
That just seems.
But I mean, I'm just wondering if he put it inside his chest or outside.
It just says he'll wear a heart monitor 24/7 in order for the live stream to show LaBeouf's beating heart until March 19th.
Oh,
this was his quote in a statement. He said, "Like cats have whiskers, we too are born with a guidance system, our heart. It is our inner GPS, our map, and our guide. It promises to lead us down the path of maximum fulfillment."
Hmm. Well,
and this is supposed to, like, inform everyone what his I don't know. It's an art piece. Dude. It's a big art piece.
It's supposed to inspire him
to hear.
Inspire us. I mean, it's whoops.
supposed to inspire us to hear Shia LaBeouf's heartbeat.
To listen to our hearts.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, he's listening to his heart.
There's so many songs that are coming to mind.
Love songs.
I feel like
obviously.
I feel like him and Kanye need to, like, team up for something. I put my heart on the internet for you.
Only you have my heart and 7 billion other people on the internet.
There you go.
Dude, that's a good idea. I wonder what it would sound like if everyone was, you know?
Yeah, if you could hear
like everyone's heartbeat in the whole world.
Or like, if you had like 14, you know, 100 people's hearts going through something at the same time.
Would it sound like white noise?
I think we should record this.
That'd be amazing.
And write a song and use that for the beat.
That'd be great.
But would that be like, a million beats per minute?
I feel
minute,
like we'd get sued though, because it's his heartbeat. And
well, knowing him, yeah, probably.
Yeah, can you put a patent on your own heartbeat?
I don't know. Could you?
I don't know.
Like file a trademark?
Or maybe you could patent the way in which it's transferred to or distributed. You could put
a musical copyright that you would file?
Interesting. Yeah. That could be it. I don't know.
What is?
Are we sure this isn't like an alter?
Ego?
I don't know. Like, this is probably some kind of like stunt for something.
Right.
Of course,
it's something Joaquin Phoenix.
It's like whenever. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, it's like whenever Shia LaBeouf walked around with a bag on his head and said, "I'm not famous anymore."
I don't know.
It's just another one of those.
He quit acting.
It's actually a sequel to Her. It's just going to be him.
We've really just given him what he wanted. Because we were talking about it for the past 5 minutes.
This is very true. And I imagine we might get a call from his lawyers because we played that on the podcast.
No, please don't sue us.
Please don't do that.
We have no money to do.
It's not worth it.
Yes, exactly. Do you want this microphone? I'll give you that.
Right. Yeah, come take it away.
Okay, so it was announced, I don't know, a couple weeks ago that there are going to be 20 tie-in books to The Force Awakens.
Yes.
All right. And
in canon.
Yeah, in canon, comic books, kids' books, children's books, young adult fiction, and adult novels. The first adult novel has been announced. It's called Star Wars Aftermath. The byline is, "The war is not over."
It's awesome, dude.
Yeah, the cover looks amazing. I'll post it on Stay on Target Podcast. I'll post several of these things we've been talking about on stayontargetpodcast.com.
So the funny thing about this, and the thing I love about it, is because it's like we have had some stories that supposedly have taken place, and so now after they did the whole, you know, okay, so the expanded universe, that we're gonna, you know, make that not canon anymore.
Non-canonical.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I was looking for. We're not gonna make that, you know, that's not canon anymore. And so then there's been a void there, because it's like, well, what in the world has happened then? And so this is gonna help fill that gap. And yes. I like that. And to tell us, hey, exactly what parts of that are they keeping and what parts of that are they kind of, you know, throwing away. So
Lucas Books said that this will detail what happened after the Battle of Endor and Return of the Jedi, and as the cover warns, the war is not over. Aftermath will be the first book in a trilogy that I clicked on something. Stand by.
In the middle of a quote, this is hilarious.
Aftermath will be the first book in a trilogy that begins to bridge the Star Wars timeline between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens, said StarWars.com. The website speaks.
That's awesome.
Adding that readers will be introduced to a sweeping new cast of characters along with a fan favorite from the film.
Cool.
Plural.
Films. So yeah. So not just...
not Admiral Akbar, who was only in the third.
Right, or like an Ewok or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It says, this is the official plot synopsis. The second Death Star has been destroyed. Rumors are flying that the Emperor and his enforcer, Darth Vader, are dead. A new government is forming to replace the Empire, but the galaxy is a big place, and the fallout of this cataclysm will affect different worlds in different ways. Does everyone accept the fall of Imperial rule? Has everyone even heard the life-altering news? What rushes in to fill the vacuum the Empire has left? And who will try to stop them?
These are all questions that we've all asked.
Yes. At one point in our lives.
Yeah, at one point or another.
Sometime or other, we have asked these questions.
I want to start off... Okay, so that was super exciting. That sentence or that phrase was super... I want to start off every podcast and ask a bunch of questions that we will answer later on in the podcast.
Mm.
Just to build tension.
Yes. At the beginning of the podcast, was Battlefield Hardline good? Was it bad?
Will we find out?
Stay tuned for the exciting conclusion of what's up with Battlefield Hardline.
I just want to do that and then not answer some of the questions.
Yes. What did John have for lunch?
What color is Chris's shirt?
Right.
Yeah, so Along with the I looked it up today. There's a string of young adult novels, and I think one children's novel that's been announced for. These are coming out on September 4th.
There's all of them all at once.
Uh huh.
Wow.
Yeah. So and then along with the there's a well, this is the thing. This is coming out September 4th. Like they have, I think it was 6 books so far. So they have like roughly 14 more to announce. Like. They have a lot to release between then and December. Like,
yeah.
When is the next wave coming? Totaled up all the prices of everything that's been announced so far on Amazon.
Yeah.
And it's like $80 or $90 is, I think, is what it was.
Well, and that's
like,
the first 14. Yeah. So if you multiply,
no, that's the first 6.
Well, that's the first 6. So you multiply that by 10, that's like $1,000 or so.
What? We are not a show about education, folks.
Math. Pay attention in school, kids.
This could happen to you.
Will we study simple multiplication?
No, so like there's 6 books, 60 books are supposed to be like,
no,
right?
Not 60 books, it's okay. Supposed to be 20 books.
I'm sorry, I thought you said 60 books.
No, dude.
I
was like, we're probably looking at a couple $100. Maybe with tax.
That makes more sense. That makes more sense.
John is going
to
pay $1,000.
60 books.
And a couple people will get the books for free.
Man, 60 books between 60 now
books
and December.
Would be nuts. That's why I was saying they're all dropping on the same day. I was like, this is a lot of reading.
They're each 2 pages long.
Man, Chris, we haven't seen you in like 3 months. I've just been reading everything about Star Wars.
Catching up on my Star Wars canon.
So
I'm an encyclopedia of Star Wars knowledge.
That's awesome.
We'll have to read this and review it on the podcast.
Oh man.
So we can tell you what's going on.
All 60 of them.
We will review all 60 of the books.
All $1,000 worth.
Yes. We have some Xbox One news. The Sling TV app has come to Xbox One. I haven't tried this out, but it sounds super intriguing. Okay, so the deal is somehow... somehow they get TV into your console.
It's like magic, folks.
So like Sling TV allows you to watch live TV without having a direct TV or cable subscription. So you can see AMC, Adult Swim, TNT, TBS, ESPN, ESPN2, and a lot of others.
Is there Disney Channel? Like, or Disney XD.
I don't, it's not on my list, John. I don't know.
Chris, I want Disney XD. I want to be able to watch Rebels. Well, this is the thing.
Well, here, let me look.
Do they have the music channels in the back where I can listen to my slow jazz?
Yes. I don't know.
The smooth jazz channel there?
Yeah, that's the thing. Do you listen to that? Who listens to that?
Dude, okay, so...
Am I paying for this stuff in my monthly subscription?
Probably. I mean, okay, so here's what, like, I mean...
Here's
how I think about this. Like, I feel like if the Weather Channel, that's one thing, because it's like you're trying to get like weather info, and it's like it's got this cool soothing music. Right. So it's like while there may be reporting that it's hailing outside, and like you know the tornado is about to pick up your house and move it, like it did in Wizard of Oz. Like you get to listen to the comforting like jazz music,
totally.
But like the ones that are just the music, I don't necessarily get. You know. It's like, I feel like that's why Pandora
I feel like we're
going to
be out of, like, when you're looking through the guide and you see those really corny, like, on-demand commercials that are saying, hey, if you guys switch over to Comedy Central, you'll watch, or if you switch over to TBS, you'll catch this month.
Yeah.
Where are those going to go? Those are so just joking.
Dude, I'm telling you, like, the cable TV is just falling apart.
Oh, totally. What is this subscription?
Yeah, how much is it?
What?
Do you pay? What's the download on that?
Looking up the stations,
Chris,
for you.
I'm sorry, I'll look it up later.
now my news thing's gone away. Well, yeah, you should look up the price while I look up. So you've got
I don't even know what it's called.
Sling TV. You've got TNT, TBS, Food Network, Travel Channel, HGTV, Adult Swim, Cooking Channel, Do It Yourself Network.
DIY.
L Ray Network. Sure. Galavision, Maker, Cartoon Network, WETV, True TV, AMC, IFC, Epix One, Epix
you
Two,
could
Epix
just
Three.
Be, you could just There's be listing Epix letters Arden. In the right. alphabet right now.
Sundance. Oh, Kids and Family Channels. You wanted to know about Disney.
Yeah,
they do have Disney Channel.
XD.
I don't know yet.
Disney
Hang
XD.
Disney Junior. Disney XD.
Yeah.
So how much is this
$20 a month.
$20 a month?
That's way cheaper than cable.
For streaming?
Well, yeah, it's
streaming TV on your Xbox?
I feel like I might do this. If I mean, honestly, like that's something Disney XD, like for Star Wars Rebels. That's something that I've been really wanting to check out. Yeah. This is a good option.
How has this not come out before?
I know it's over, but
you know what I mean? Like, how has this not been a concept prior to?
Well, it just came out, like the app just like literally like today or yesterday released on Xbox One.
Wow. You can try 7 days for free, apparently.
Yeah. So, I mean, you
I will
try
do
it.
That.
I will do it.
And see.
Yeah. Okay. So can you like, okay, so how does this work? Do you DVR it? I mean, it's live TV, but like,
yeah,
can
I don't think
you?
I don't think you can DVR.
Okay. So yeah.
You have to watch everything live.
Okay.
I believe.
Well, I mean, that's definitely an option.
That's
so.
A downer for me, but.
get this. So. Yeah. The news channels are.
I feel like that's the best thing about cable, though, is the DVR situation.
Oh yeah, now
like,
it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
CNN, Bloomberg, HLN, News 18, India, Euronews.
Dude, well, this is a worldwide service.
Sold.
It's a worldwide service.
France 24 and Russia Today.
It's a worldwide service. They have to
you
provide
think
this
be,
stuff.
You think it'd be regional?
I don't know. I mean, maybe, okay, so maybe it is regional, but it's like if you're in one of those regions, then
that's what you get.
Yeah, that's what you get. So would make sense. But yeah.
Wow.
Because I mean, I think they have to have different feeds for like different languages anyway, like with for the other channels that you have. So like if you're watching
NCAA tournament in French.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, like
whatever.
You have to have like the whatever those local feeds are. So I would imagine it's probably regional, but those so you'd get ABC, you know, France or whatever.
That's true.
If you're
true.
In France.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. So I think our final bit of news, there's going to be a Lego Jurassic World.
Yeah.
And it's going to include all the other movies.
Wait, is this a video game or a
video game?
Video game. Okay. I was thinking if it was a movie. I was like, are they just like frame for frame recreating it but with Lego? I'll watch that.
No, no. Also, I lied. That wasn't our last news item. our last news item is that Hardline has been hit by DDoS attacks. I was gonna tie that in.
Will Chris lie on this episode of the podcast? Answer is yes.
So you guys were playing and experienced this.
Yeah, it was like, okay, so that was interesting. Like, so, okay, so do you want to end
let's
the
preface
news,
this. Let's
news
preface.
Segment and then what? We'll dive into the
yes.
next thing?
Is this Hardline now? Hardline?
Yes. Yeah, we are at Hardline.
Review worthy?
Yes.
All right, well, that was the news.
On to the main event of the Hardline review.
Yes. On to the main event.
A Hardline review. So we're going to review Hardline, Battlefield Hardline. So, obviously, going into this, they delayed the game once, and going into this, we came off of Battlefield 4, which had all sorts of launch issues,
yes.
And even to this day has some, like, weirdness. Like, some people still have some issues.
But this was largely uneventful.
Right, yeah.
Except, dun-dun-dun!
The DDoS attacks.
The DDoS attacks.
Yeah, okay, so this has been like the standard thing for like online gaming over the past few months or so. It's been like kind of regular attacks on various games, various services, and all that sort of thing. And so this one was specifically limited to the Xbox One.
Do we know who did it? Was it Lizards?
I don't know if
again,
we know
no,
who did
no,
it. I don't think it was Lizard Squad, but because it was actually...
those jerks.
Whenever they started, like whenever it started experiencing it... excuse me. EA came out and they were like, we're investigating the issue. And then a few, you know, like 30 minutes later, wherever they came out and they were like, actually, it's a DDoS attack. We're figuring it out.
I describe on the podcast what happens whenever Microsoft, like in whenever Xbox Live gets attacked or starts going down or something goes wrong?
No.
Okay. Discuss amongst yourself. I'm going to pull something up.
Okay.
Okay. So what I love how what it said in the IGN post.
Yeah.
That it was like... It's nothing. It's nothing of anyone of true skill needs to maintain. Like I love how they're belittling the fact that they were still attacked, but then they're just trying to poke fun at like, this is all you guys got type thing. I thought it was funny that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now we're just gonna get it even more.
So. Yeah. It's like EA is kind of like psh, yeah, but this is a, well even still like okay so while we were like I remember there was the DDoS attacks over Christmas and that was a big deal because like everything
that
was just
that
shot
was,
down.
That was like the 26th. That was like after every 12-year-old was getting their Xbox One and Call of Duty or whatever. You know,
it's like you get these new games that are online
so
games
bad.
And you just couldn't handle it. And then I remember remember also like Destiny got it a little bit for a while, and so like, but you'd just be kicked for hours, and you just couldn't connect.
Just
but
rage this, mode.
Yeah, but this was interesting because like we would get kicked from a match, and it would just kind of like end the match. You get kicked back to the main screen, and then you get back in, and it won't be able to see any of the servers.
Right,
but we were pretty much able to get back in after. Well, about it was weird because like minutes.
you would find a server that obviously it needs four to start. Battlefield servers, but or four to start the game. You can start it by yourself, so you'd find a room that would be like 6 of 32, and you go in there, and it would put you in a queue. It would put you in a queue, and you're like, "What? There's no room." And then what I realized what was happening is we finally got in one, and then I think I sent you an invite, and I saw I was holding start on the thing, and I saw the whole server just start piling in one by one, and it was super quick. It was like one after another, and what everyone was doing was hopping right back on the servers.
Everyone was able to just hop right back in, and so it's like you're back to playing within like 10 minutes. Maybe you weren't with your party, but
when I sent him the invite, there was like literally like 6 people in the room.
Yeah,
and then so like a second later, after he's accepting the invite, it said he was in a queue of 5 of 5.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it was instant.
So all the servers were filling up.
Yeah, that's wild. And it was nuts. Like that was nuts. And so like that's why I feel like they were like, it wasn't really even an effective DDoS attack because you were able to jump right back in. It's like it would just basically they would overload the server with the DDoS and then
kick everybody out.
Everybody out, and everybody would pile right back in. And then about 15, 20 minutes later, maybe it would happen again.
Did
so like
there was
this
kind
of like intermittent thing.
I had a question about that, and a couple buddies that I play with were explaining that typically now in all of those servers, all those official servers, that it saves your progress pretty much. So if you rack a kill, you don't have to end the game.
Yeah,
it saves it right to your
immediately.
Stats. So, that's but cool. I don't know about obviously like a win loss. You're gonna lose that.
You're gonna
get
a loss. Yeah,
but
or an incomplete. They may do win loss incomplete.
I don't know. So, but I mean, it technically saves your progress, but it's still annoying. You know, when you're trying to get in a groove in a 20-minute game and it kicks you out. You know, that's not fun.
Well, there was a couple of them that we were about to win, and then right before we were about to to win, it's like you get kicked, and it's like that could get really frustrating. But again, it's like we were right back in a match within like 10-15 minutes. Yeah. I mean, it was just, again, super ineffective.
And
DDoS
I think this early on, even though it obviously was a blatant attack, but I think this early on, we're so used to these big releases coming out that we just know it's normal to do that. You know, it's still annoying, but it's not like, return the game.
Right.
You don't want my money back. Yeah.
It's done.
Uninstall, never play again.
Right.
So there's this article on Polygon. I'll post it on standtargetpodcast.com. It was basically a big, huge essay on Xbox Live's evolution over the years. But they talk about Xbox's, they call it the XOC. It's where they basically like deal with any emergency. And like I don't know what I thought happened if like something would happen to these big companies like Microsoft or EA or something like that. Like what would happen necessarily? But like I don't know. I imagine like you know alarms going off on the wall, some intern running down, papers flying, like guys, it's going down.
Yeah, I can see management team are on vacation that week. Yeah, there's
like,
no
it's
one
a,
there.
It's like a fireman's unit where they have the pole. Like they're sleeping up in like this, and so they slide down the pole to their computer systems. Like you know,
a clown's getting pushed out of the way.
The firemen have like the pants, like their pants on. Their boots, and so they have that sort of situation.
The straps, the holding on to the pants. Yeah. And so, like, there's a quote from Eric Neustetter, E, on Xbox Live. He says, "We actually have this is about XOC, so I'm just comparing this to, like, E. I'm sure EA has the same kind of thing on a smaller scale, but he says, we actually have a completely redundant facility from which we can do everything we can do here in another building on another continent. This building is on multiple power grids. We have huge diesel generators and 72 hours of diesel in a tank out in the parking lot." so they can control, basically what happens is
and
they
And
he
gives the codes to every door to in that post just to say, hey, if you want to try to get in, you can.
Yes. The Xbox Operations Center is a large room filled with computers and screens. There are around 40 or 50 people at the workstations, and the people who sit at them work in shifts and have varying specialties. One person's job is to do nothing but watch the clock, a digital readout at the top of the big wall of screens, which starts running only when there's a problem.
Wow.
If anything other than zero... If it reads anything other than zero, it means something on Xbox Live has gone wrong.
He's on Twitter. If he hears one problem, he starts the clock once. If it gets resolved, he starts it over.
That's amazing.
It says this clock watcher does nothing but watch the clock count upward and let everyone else
know what
it reads.
What's his yearly salary?
So everyone else can focus on solving the problem. I want to know what the interview process is like. Do you like to watch hands go round and round?
So here's what I bet you it's a digital readout, and I bet you they show him a bunch of digital. What does this say? What does this say?
Right.
What does this say?
Yeah, it's not the ink blot test. It's just numbers.
But it's super fast. Like they have to have like they time him like in his response time.
Is he like an auction? Is he like an auctioneer? He's it's a one and two and two and three and three. So, and give me a four.
So
and...
here's the deal. I feel like we just described like the origin story to a Batman villain.
Or does he scream out the numbers?
He's the
one, two, three, four, five,
guy,
six, seven, eight.
It's like I feel like these guys have to have like an innate sense of like timing.
Right.
Like,
ramble off as many digits of pi as you can. Go.
Yeah. Just calculate now.
They also have
that's
like
awesome.
They also have these big binders. They say like it's the WTFC, what the F changed book.
Oh, dude.
There's a bunch of coffee stains and everything.
Yeah, yeah. It's a website.
We're missing 537.
It's a running list of every change made to any device or service at Microsoft that could impact Xbox Live.
Wow.
Like, that's ridiculous.
Nice. That's amazing.
They're really on top of it.
So anyway, like
dude,
I'm sure
seriously.
That EA has something along those lines for their servers, you know, like... So I don't know. Like it just that whole thing amazes me. It's like this is way more complex than even I thought it was.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. I mean, that's just intense. And it's for them to be like, yeah, that wasn't really that big of an attack. It's like I can imagine that group of guys going, should we start the clock? Yeah. All right.
I'll sit around the room laughing.
Yeah.
It's like, look at this.
Look at this guy.
He's using a dummy account, dummy server IP address.
This guy's on an iPhone. Anyway.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, like, while we did get some issues and get some, like, frustration of, like, oh, you know, but it lasted all of, like, a few minutes, and then that was about it. So, like, other than that, everything
was late
smooth.
Enough at night where you're like, screw it.
Yeah, I'm just going to go to bed.
Should have gone to bed 3 hours ago anyway.
Yeah, it was long enough for you to look at your phone and figure out what time it was and go, yeah.
So that's when I went on to single player.
So as far as the game goes, though, this week we're going to review a lot of like the multiplayer aspects. Yeah. Haven't had a chance to fully flesh out the single player. We'll probably do that next week, and we'll talk about it next week in a segment. But as far as the multiplayer goes, like we were getting into some matches, and I don't know if all three of us were ever on it at one time. But yeah, no, we weren't. But that's me saying we weren't. Yeah, but Chris is shaking his head like no, that's
violently.
Yeah, violently.
It's actually on the floor rolling around right now.
but yeah, so like as far as that goes, it's a really fun, like some fun new match types.
Yeah.
There's some classic old ones that are in there. And what's interesting, I've never been into a Battlefield game really multiplayer before.
Right. Really?
And it's a lot of times like it's because I get into a match and it's like it takes me about 4 minutes to run because all the vehicles are taken and to run over the hills.
He likes the landscape.
And like, yeah, and to like slide down these sand dunes and to get up there and then you're like, hey, there's my friends, and you start to wave at them, and then you get sniped immediately, and you have to start that 4 minute run all over again. Or like a tank blows you up or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this is a little bit more fast paced than that. That's what I liked about it. So.
What game modes did you guys get to try out?
I tried out Blood Money.
Blood Money, yeah.
That was fun. Tried out TDM.
Yep. Yeah.
Tried out that's the one when you're in the cars.
The Hotwire.
Hotwire.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome. I think that's it. That's all I tried out as far as multiplayer.
There's a couple more, single life based,
some more hardcore.
Yeah, it's a little more hardcore, but it's still normal, but, it's one's rescue, like where you got to rescue a certain hostage and bring them back to the,
is that fun?
Yeah, it is fun. It's so like, but you only have one life. You know what I mean?
Is this new? Or
yeah, it's technically the concept is not, but yes, it's just a new name for it.
And
you're rescuing hostages.
Gotcha.
As opposed to it would be kind of like Rush in a sense. Well, I say that would be kind of what they're replacing Rush with.
Yeah,
because there's Rush, not Rush. So as far as
that goes, is it like kind of like Capture the Flag, but your flag is the hostage?
Yeah.
Or?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And so once again, you only have one life, and I think it's only 6v6 or 8v8.
So is the other side just an antagonistic side where they're trying to stop you, or are they trying to get the hostage
too? No, they're trying to stop you.
That's cool.
So, and it works out. So And one thing I'm obviously you find as opposed to most first person shooters is a lot of these games or a lot of Battlefield games are. I mean, you have to be so on top with your team and your squad, and not only do you have to have your mic plugged in, I mean, you got to be like aware and you got to be somewhat smart. You don't just go out in the open, you know, because you do die fast even in normal mode.
Yeah, so, the time to kill is pretty low. So
yeah, so and it's actually lower than I would say Battlefield 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. So it's quick, but
I thought that was really fun though, because like if you're on top of it and the other team is kind of like you can spring on the other team, like surprise the other team, and until they get their recover and figure out what's actually going on, you can take out a few of the people. So like I feel like those flanking lines and like teamwork to where it's like you have one group drawing their aggro and the other group kind of going along the side.
Yeah,
those strategies work really well. Like
what I've enjoyed seeing was I'm not too big of a Conquest fan. Obviously that's their default game type. That is Battlefield is Conquest.
Yeah.
And so
that's 32 on 32?
Yes, so 64 total. I love that they've incorporated TDM to be 64 players.
That's really cool.
And it is a mosh pit.
It was insane.
Of lead flying about. And like, it's awesome.
You can spawn and just immediately dead.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean you just really got to pay attention, and the moment you spawn in, you just go
look.
You gotta crouch down and look for cover, and then stay there for about 30 seconds and assess the situation. But I love that fact, because it adds way more to just naturally it adds way more intensity.
Yeah.
And you know, once again, just going back to like if you have a solid crew, you guys can dominate. So
yeah. So as far as like map selection and like variants and things like that, like I played a decent number of them, but a lot of times I ended up on some of the same kind of maps. How many maps are there in total?
I would say there's only a small handful, 6 to 8. No. Okay. Yeah, it's about 6 maps.
Yeah.
And some game types are more lenient to that cycle, you know.
Right.
What I mean? And actually some maps aren't even incorporated in other game modes, period.
Right. Like there's so some smaller maps that I only played on certain game
they're
modes.
They're totally restricted. So actually I would say more than 6. I'd probably say closer to 10 then if that's the case. But I think this initial block, this default block was, you know, it's always, if it's something you got to live with, you can live with it, you know, and I don't mind them. They're cool, but.
No, they're cool, and they feel pretty balanced. Like, I mean, depending on the spawn points and things like that, I mean, they feel like legitimate, legitimately balanced maps, like where it's like, you know, it's not determined by where you spawn, you know, whether or not you
and I think that getting rid of the majority, obviously there are vehicles, but getting rid of the majority of like flying vehicles that gives way more way to consolidate your not only your size but then your detail within that size.
It's also nice, like whenever you do actually grab a helicopter or something like that, like it's nice,
it just
because
it feels just a little different.
Yeah, it feels a little bit special, like because like before, whenever you have so many vehicles and it's so many, you know, you have like the helicopters and all that stuff, it just felt like, okay, so do I hop in this or do I hop in that?
Right.
Whereas now it's like if the helicopter is there and you're like, it almost feels like almost like a kill streak or something like that would in a different type of a game.
Right.
So,
totally.
Yeah.
So what did you guys think of Hotwire?
I liked it a lot.
Probably my favorite game mode.
Yeah, like so we were running around the other night making like I was Xbox recording a lot of clips of us just RPGing every single vehicle we came upon. And it was amazing.
Yes. Super fun. Super fun.
I'll have to make a compilation of that and post it online.
Yeah, for sure. That'd
this
be,
weekend
that'd
sometime
be awesome.
Probably.
I loved the speed with which you do it, and like you said, the teamwork and stuff, because it's like one person can be out of a car just taking out the other team whenever they get in cars, but you can't just do that. Like there was a couple matches where you and I were just doing that, and it was like
we lost, completely lost,
had a lot of fun, blew up a lot of cars, but we lost because it was just, you know, nobody was driving around.
So something that like I find super interesting and like I'm super thankful for is the driving mechanics felt really, really good.
Yeah.
You know, like they felt better than whenever I was playing the crew, which is a driving game. Like Battlefield Hardline gets it right.
Yeah.
Like everything feels great. Like you can drift around corners. You can, you know, totally like just turn on a dime and spin around. And it doesn't feel arcadey. It doesn't feel too realistic. It's just like, okay, this feels really, really good. And I love that. And I like that just like introduction to, it's almost like racing You're not racing to get to a point, but you're just trying to stay, like, keep your car moving.
Just maintain, yeah. Yeah.
Whereas before, a lot of times, Battlefield is like, okay, you know, like, okay, I'm going to get in this helicopter and go shoot some guys, or like, I want to get from point A to point B.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like, I need to stay in this car as long as I can.
That's what's cool. Like John was saying, like, if you're going to stay in one spot and you got to level up that certain class or that certain weapon, you can just let the flags technically come to you or the cars come to you.
Yeah.
So
and what's really cool about, like, I mean, the game mode is basically it's just conquest. Like, so whenever you capture a control point, their other team's tickets points start going down, and the, you know, whenever you get them all the way depleted, you win. But like, so like the idea of driving around with these control points, the mobile control points, the fact that you can be capping a control point and driving one, and then, you know, your passenger is both defending you and taking out other control points. Like, that's really cool. You know, where it's like, hey, somebody drives up behind you and it's like, all right, take them out with your grenade launcher or whatever. That's really fun.
And in the, along the same lines, that is so far, this is technically the best or the fastest game mode to level up.
Right.
And I love the cash based system that they've integrated. Not only are you leveling up, you know, your stats, but you are leveling up your cash flow in order to turn around and upgrade weapons, upgrade, you know, attachments and all that stuff. All that's used with an actual currency. And so with Hotwire, you're rolling around. Not only are you blowing up other cars and getting tons of cash, but you're constantly, you know, I think it's like you can get like $100 every like 15 seconds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I mean, you could stay in a car and easily get 7,000 to 10,000.
In one match,
bucks on one match
for sure. And if you're really good, you can get way more than that. Like, I think I saw the top that I saw was like $12,000 in one match or something like that. And that's just staying in a car constantly and taking out other people.
Which you know, I understand it can get boring after a while. But you know, if you got to hit, you know, if you're trying to save up for that certain attachment, go hit Hotwire for a couple of matches. You know,
And what's funny, like, I love driving around the cars and like, but whether you're the driver or whether you're the passenger leaning out the window with a rocket launcher, it's fun because like there's a cat and mouse element to it where it's like if the other team is mainly dominating one entire side of the map, it's like whenever you are forced, and inevitably you usually are forced to drive through, it just feels so challenging in a different way where like you're trying to avoid rockets or you're trying to make sure that the car doesn't get stuck on something.
It's not, it's not necessarily like annoying. Yeah, it's annoying when you hit a rock, but like it's not, it's more intense.
It's like I'm trying, you know, it's your fault.
I'm trying to, you know, save my own life and my buddies, you know, my whole team, because I got a full team of four or something like that, you know?
Yeah,
And you hit, you know, a fence or you hit a car, parked car or something. I mean, it's super intense and you just, you know, it's definitely something that's been incorporated to the game, and I love it.
And, and I like the fact that you mentioned like the car mechanics feeling really good, and it's like, because I think that if any one of those types of roles was not fun, it wouldn't work. Like, this game mode would not work if the driving wasn't fun. Mm-hmm. This game mode wouldn't work if taking out other vehicles wasn't fun, you know? So it's, you know, that plays into it. It's gotta be fun.
Well, even like the explosions are super satisfying, you know, like, you know, you hit somebody with an RPG and
feels weighted. You know what I mean? It feels good. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. It feels really good. What do you think of, what do you think of Blood Money?
Blood Money. Yeah. I it's a new game mode. I love it.
It's frantic. It's different than anything I've ever played.
Like, I think, whenever we were playing, I like the smaller maps with it the best.
Yeah.
Just because you can, like, it's everybody's trying to run back and forth so fast to try to get as much money. And then it's also fun, like, running around collecting just money off the ground. People drop money whenever you get killed.
Oh, that's actually the easiest way to do it.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Sit there and, you know.
And you can also go rob the other people's, you can rob the other team's base. Like, as they're running back and piling money into whatever they're using as their base, you can, if they're not paying attention, go over there and just take their money directly. Right. Out of their base and take it back to yours.
Yeah.
And it's like, so that's really fun. On some of the larger maps, that's more possible than the smaller ones.
Yeah.
Because you can just roll up with like a vehicle or something like that and take their money, which is really fun.
I level up pretty quickly on Blood Money as well. Like, cause you know, you're,
yeah, you do.
You're gaining XP whenever you like collect money and whenever you deposit it.
Yeah. And obviously like, I keep going back to this, but like to have a team to work together, whether a couple dudes are on defense sitting outside the building, you know, just taking out dudes that are trying to throw grenades in or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you constantly need that. Otherwise, you're going to be you know, you're going to be a loss at the end of the game. And also, like, you know, as a bunch of as more people are taking cash, you know, that's just a faster respawn time on how much loot you're actually taking. And so,
for sure. And the other thing, like, about Battlefield that I really enjoy is being able to choose, like, you're in your own, like, you're on a team of 32 people, right? Mm-hmm. But then you also have, like, a team of potentially five people that you're able to spawn on and to select and to be your crew, basically.
Right.
The one thing I would say about this is, like, if you're a gamer who doesn't have a lot of people who play multiplayer games with you, or you don't know anybody who, it's like, it might be a little bit less fun that way. Cause, like, even whenever you and I were playing, there was one match that we got in, everybody was in a private like squad. So you couldn't select like a squad with five people in it that you could spawn on. And so we were kind of basically alone until it populated more people.
Right.
In. And so it's like, if you're by yourself, this and being so team heavy and that sort of thing, the value for it may not quite be as high, but I mean, I love it. Like, it's unequaled whenever you're riding in the same car with a couple guys that you're on the mic with. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you take out somebody else. Like, it's really fun.
Oh yeah. It's super fun.
Like, I don't know why, and I haven't really put my finger on what aspect about this makes me feel like this, but it reminds me a lot of the multiplayer for the original Bad Company, Battlefield Bad Company. And I don't know why, like, it's just something that, like, Battlefield 4 never made me feel like that, and maybe it's just, like, the uniqueness of these new game modes, and the maps just feel like they don't feel as sprawling. They're still big, but they feel a little less, I don't know. It feels like, okay, I think this is what it is. It feels like there's distinctly different parts to these maps. So, like, for instance, you know, there's one part that has a big radio tower on it, and then there's, like, bunkers over here, and there's something else over here. But they're all close enough, you could run to them if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
But, or you can take a car and drive really, really fast.
Yeah.
I felt like Battlefield 4 a lot of times felt like every different distinct area was separated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so far away from
each other. You need a vehicle to get there. Otherwise, you're spending 20 minutes to get to
eat. Well, like I said, you know, it takes you 5 or 6 minutes to run up to your squad and then, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. So.
And it's also a lot faster. Like you said, time to kill, I think, makes it a faster paced game. The map size makes it a faster paced game than Battlefield 4. It's kind of a cross between, like, Battlefield 4 and Call of Duty, you know, like. And honestly, I think it's a faster time to kill than, like, Advanced Warfare is, you know, like, basically Battlefield Hardline, if you're getting shot, like, they have one shot on you.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't react at that point, you're dead.
Yeah. Especially a headshot, or if you don't, like, flank or something, you know, get out of their line of fire, basically.
Yeah. What classes, obviously, you know, I probably played a little bit more than you, but and this is good to know because I think a lot of people default to a couple classes, but what class would you guys typically go to, whether it's specific, you know, equipment or specific guns or specific, you know?
Yeah, like, whenever I was, so far, once it's released, I've just played with the first one where you can heal, like revive
people.
Like
the operator.
Operator. Whenever we were doing, whenever we were playing in the, I think it was the beta?
Yeah.
I was using the mechanic a lot, and I just haven't, like, I started unlocking things for the operator class. Once I accumulate more money, I'll start unlocking things for the mechanic class, because it is nice whenever you're, like, a passenger riding in a car or something like that, to just, like, be able to fix the car as you're riding in it or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
That's the class that I went with first because of the fact that I really enjoy Hotwire mode.
Yeah.
And so it's like, whether I'm driving a car or whether I'm a passenger in a car, I want to be able to, like, you know, heal it and that sort of thing. And so, like, that's why I started leveling that up. Got that tool first, bought that. That was my first purchase.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's like the range on that one, whenever we were playing some of the longer map modes, like with the
SMGs and the,
I mean, it's like whenever I'm, unless I'm in a room with somebody, unless I'm like, and somebody starts taking me out from, you know, a ways away, it's like, I can't do a single thing about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you can put some damage on them, but it's like, if they're more than, you know, 100 yards away, you're getting assist city, you know?
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's something that I'm kind of, like, you know, struggling with right now. Like, I think, okay, let's mention this. Something that's different and kind of, like, it takes a minute to get used to, where there are different guns available for each
that's
side.
Right.
So, like, there's the cops and then there's the robbers and, or whatever they are called.
Criminals.
Robbers is fine, Chris.
What are you
for? We're five and
I'm
we're
a
bored.
Robber.
Dude, I'm totally good with it, you know?
Cops and Indians.
Yeah.
So whenever you're a kid and you're like, hey, cops and robbers, like, I don't know. I feel like you're choosing career paths, and it's like, you know, I'm one of the robbers, and it's just, yeah. I don't know. It's weird.
And so like you
weird thing to aspire to.
There are different guns on each side, and you have to unlock them independently of each other. And so like you unlock something on one. On the cops,
right.
And you, all of a sudden you get put on a
which
team.
Which
it's and
not cheap at the beginning.
No.
You know?
No, so not at all.
Like you took some time to get that, you know, that well, 10 grand or whatever for that first gun.
Yeah. I think I played for probably 3 hours or whatever, and I had enough, just barely enough to buy a gun for each.
Yeah.
And so I need more money for other things now. You
well,
know?
It's devastating. Like, obviously that's a concept where you kind of got to, you know, fall victim to a couple times, but like
yeah.
where you buy that one cool gun and it works awesome. And then you yeah. load the next map and you're like, oh
yeah. You yeah. get like, super excited about using it. You
can't
know?
Use it.
I'm running around with my secondary or something
yeah.
because I got a shotgun yeah. that can shoot 10 yards or whatever, you know?
Well, it's also really funny. Like not only that, like whenever you buy equipment, so everything other than your primary and your secondary, right? Those are the primary and the secondary are the only things that are exclusive, like the tools. So the repair tool or the med kit or,
right.
Or even your grenade launcher. Those yeah. are all like, those are all transferable to both,
yeah.
but you actually have to customize it on both sides.
Right.
So it's like, I ran into one match and had purchased the tool where I could repair. It's the
right.
repair tool.
Yeah.
And so then next match loads and I'm on the other team. I go to repair the car and it's like, nope, it's not there. So
right.
the next
oh,
time I die, I had to actually go in and select it and equip it.
Right.
So it's like, I almost wish that some of those things were global across both.
Yeah.
I understand why they're not. Cause it's like, if you're on, you know, playing a game mode where it's like an attack and defend situation, like on, what is the one where you break into is that heist mode?
Yeah.
So if you're playing heist, you may want a different tool set on your criminal than you do on your cop or your police officer.
Right.
So it's like, you know, that makes sense to me to separate those out, but I almost wish that there was a some sort of an option where it's like, hey, I want to select this. Do you want to equip it on both classes? Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
That would be
makes
nice.
Sense.
Like, and so like the way I have it set up right now is like on one of my classes, I have a short range gun and another one, I have a long range gun. And I'm kind of trying to figure out that balance just because
yeah.
like I naturally kind of go toward it more of a run and gun, like,
mm-hmm.
Shorter range, higher damage,
yeah.
class. Like
right.
that's kind of like what I like to run in
right.
a Call of Duty. That's what I like to run in multiple player shooters. And so,
cause your Twitch reaction speed is ridiculous.
I mean, I try, but like, but then like Battlefield, like there's such long sight lines that you almost
right.
like, you know, you're getting shot at, but if I have something that won't reach over there, like, well, I'm pinned down.
Yeah.
Like I can't do anything. Or
the best,
yeah.
well, the best thing is just to put, and I found this, like, just with any, I mean, obviously I kind of try my best to work with different guns, but if you're on those shorter range guns, even like a shotgun or something like that,
mm-hmm.
just your best bet is to just put suppressive fire on them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, you know, a shotgun, a couple shotgun shells, and then toss a grenade and run,
mm-hmm.
you know, because then you're asking mm-hmm. for your buddies to help you out on this corner or whatever, or just find some cover.
Yeah.
Or you could always, and a lot of people don't take advantage of this, is to throw like the more the defensive,
mm-hmm.
Gear is like your smoke grenades or mm-hmm. your mm-hmm. gas grenades.
Interesting.
That's
good. That could get you out of some of those situations
right,
whenever you're hiding behind a rock from a sniper.
That's going to disorient so many, and a lot of people don't even use it. And a lot of these modes on Hardline with the smaller maps are, give way to more, objective based stuff, not just killing, obviously, if you're playing TDM, but. Like if you're, you know, if you're playing in Blood Money or you're playing in Heist and you're going for the cash, you know, just throwing some gas or some smoke and they're not going to know which way you went because they're
yeah.
going to be so disoriented.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
a lot of people do not take advantage of that. So,
yeah. I mean, and that's something I hadn't thought about either, but yeah, definitely the long range versus short range thing is a question.
And I think that's what levels it out too. You know what I mean? Because then that guy with the sniper rifle or the DMR
yeah.
is going to get smoked at close range too by, you know, whatever you got. So.
Right. That's true.
For
that's
sure.
true. So. Yeah. Like if it's a one-on-one battle and it's like, okay, I'm really close to this guy, like I'm going to win.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
What's your favorite mode?
Favorite
so
mode,
far?
I think, well, Hotwire, I think initially this, you know, the first week or two, just because, you know, you want to level up, you want to kind of be, you know, as out there as you can, and also, you know, to obtain as many attachments and not only attachments for your guns, but attachments for vehicles.
Yeah.
I think literally the first thing I bought was the breaching charges, the C4 for my engineer class or for my support class. And then the second thing I bought was RPGs for both my vehicles.
Yeah.
And that sounds a little, that sounds like a little noobish, but dude, it's like, it's the most fun. Like when you just roll in a car and you got two RPGs sitting in your, you know, sitting in your trunk.
Oh yeah.
Two rounds and you can just pop them off and kill four dudes at once.
So. Well, it's really funny. Like, okay, so I liked Titanfall a lot because of all of the epic things that, that just inherently happen in those matches. And so like, to me, it's like, that's one reason why I really enjoyed it. And that's one reason why I really enjoy the Hotwire mode, where like where you're driving around cars and you have to take out cars. Because just inherent to this mode, you have to blow up vehicles.
Right, yeah.
Which which is incredibly epic, you know? And so it feels really satisfying whenever you fire off that perfect rocket.
Right.
And it even feels really like hilarious whenever you get blown up.
Right.
Like, it can be frustrating. But it's like, we were rolling around the other day and it's like this guy, you know, comes out and you said something like, oh, you better get him now, otherwise, and then we exploded. Yeah. You know, it's like they shot us first, you know? So it's like, in those instances, it's just hilarious. So, I mean, just epic things just inherently happen in that mode versus a lot of some of the other other more methodical, like, traditional modes. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Well, also, like, I think the more maps that they come out with, they'll realize that a lot of people are on ground just kind of playing the camping thing, which is, you know, cool if you, that's what you need to level up in. But I think there's only one map that has one of the different vehicles is a motorcycle.
Mm, yes.
Which is way more maneuverable, way more fast, you know, just super fast, and it can get out of like some dodgy situations. But when you're obviously way more exposed, you know, you can get shot by a pistol. But I think the more that they come out with maps, I could see them having some control points as choppers.
That'd be cool.
Instituting some more different vehicles that would kind of have just a different play type.
Yeah.
And I could totally see them, you know, because obviously
that would shake
a lot
of things up. Like if something was a helicopter and you have to take out the helicopter, you know, I mean, it shakes things up.
Yeah. It's just an incentive for people to get into vehicles that they're typically not cool to roll with, you know?
Right.
What do you think about the dynamic events so far in my experience?
Levolution.
The Levolution. I've had, like, I think the Levolution was more impactful on gameplay in Battlefield 4. Like,
definitely was. I mean, when you get like some main maps like Siege of Shanghai, that's a huge one. But like where literally the skyscraper falls down, in the middle of them, like and you,
or the whole
totally
city
blocks,
floods.
Oh yeah, or the whole city floods. Yeah. Those are obviously things that, like, right when they happen, they're super annoying. You're like, ugh, you know? But they're also cool. But I think in Hardline, they're more of a, you know, this is an epic moment. Let's watch for 10 seconds. And
Well, but they don't really affect gameplay either. Like, whenever the crane falls and hits the building or whatever,
It does to a certain, on certain game modes, because then the crane acts as a like a walkway, like a vestibule. Like, you can literally walk from the second floor down to the ground, you know?
Right.
And that's cool on if you're on a particular side or, on, like I said, on a particular game mode. But other than that,
it's just, it's, not really, it seems like it's just more cosmetic things than other. Like, it doesn't really, like with the building, whenever the building would fall, it's like that just eliminated your, you know, the biggest spot that you have for like sniping and for, like, a lot of things like that.
Yeah.
Or the flooding, it's like you can't, you know, that just eliminates a lot of pathways.
Yeah.
Whereas these, like, whenever the train bridge blew up or whatever on the one map, I was under it and died. Other than that, if it had happened and I hadn't got, like, it hadn't fallen on me,
you would have just,
I would never have known.
Yeah, you would have thought, they made the map that way?
Like, sometimes, like, if we're on a hot wire, like, I'll round a corner and be like, oh, well, that happened while I was gone.
Yeah, For that 10 seconds.
Yeah, and it's like, it doesn't really, you know, other than just the interesting, oh, yeah, that's not there anymore, it just doesn't affect a lot of what's happening.
Yeah.
But, so.
I kind of miss Rush as a game mode. Like, I loved that in Battlefield 4. That was my favorite game mode in Battlefield
4. I mean, that in itself, that is also, you know, another Battlefield original. And I can't see, in the same mind, that gived way to how huge DICE's maps were.
Yeah.
Because you would have not only two stations that you would have to arm, but that would be like three or four series going into the map. You know what I mean? That would give way to, okay, this is how massive, you know?
You're right. These maps aren't that big.
Yeah, they're not that big, but I could see them.
They're a little more symmetrical as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I could see them like putting in some sort of like, almost like Modern Warfare, like search and destroy type thing.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Like, I suppose, I forget the game mode now, but it's the rescue. Yeah, like where you're rescuing a hostage, but something more on the lines of, you know, you're trying to arm a bomb or you're trying to,
yeah,
you know. But I don't, you know, I don't know how that would play out, but I could definitely see them trying to institute something like Rush, where it constantly moves across the map or something like that.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
If you're going to compare this to Battlefield 4, how would you compare it, and then like which one would you choose?
I think recently, a lot of, obviously, there's been so many first-person shooters that have been on like the modern combat, and that's such a huge thing, you know, just not only, you know, in today's culture and everything. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge topic right now. But I, obviously, since it's just a brand new release, I'm enjoying Hardline in a sense, and a ton, to be honest, a ton of people on, you know, that are super adamant, you know, Battlefield heads that are totally against this game.
Really?
Yeah. Because, oh yeah, it just gets rid of all the tanks, it gets rid of, you know, all, I mean, it just, it's so many different concepts, game modes like Rush, like just tons of stuff. They've simplified it, you know, and this is more or less just a reskin of 4. And dude, it could be, but it technically, you know, it's just, it's implementing new game types, it's implementing new weapons, new ways. I love the new HUD, the new, you know, the new UI with like the way you do boosts and like just different things, and you can do loadouts now. And obviously it's just, you know, even if it's a game to just get us by, I mean, it's worth the money and it's fun, and if you got a crew that you can run with,
right,
solid, that communicates well and plays well, then why not? But if honestly, if I were to, you know, if Battlefield 4 came out today, I'd probably, to be honest, like it more.
Really? But so, like, so I guess what you're saying is, like, as a Battlefield game,
right,
Battlefield 4, but maybe, I mean, just thinking about them as like a shooter or like a modern day shooter, it's a little bit different.
Right. Yeah. And I know this is kind of far-fetched, but I never played like Medal of Honor, but this is kind of their thing of, you know, it's kind of smaller type, and this is like kind of more exclusive to, we're just trying this out to see if it works, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it does. I mean, a lot of people are playing it and a lot of people seem to enjoy it. And
yeah.
It's a hybrid of things, you know what I mean? It's a hybrid of your smaller type modern warfare or what, you know, your Call of Duty, and it's kind of faster paced, you know? And then it's still got the kind of mid-size elements, big maps or whatever. And I think it sells well. I think it gets by. So.
Like listening to you talk about like all the new things. Yeah, like I honestly kind of see this as kind of a something to revitalize the franchise. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I was never huge into Battlefield. I really liked both Bad Company games. I played the multiplayer on those.
Yeah.
I kind of fell off on Battlefield 3. Mm-hmm. I liked 4, except for like it just it never hooked me. Like, I think there were just too many other things happening at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. You know, there's like Titanfall and then eventually Destiny.
Right.
And that's all this other stuff like taking my attention.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Call of Duty Ghosts, I think around the same time as well.
Yep. Right.
And but like this, like honestly, it's come at the right time. Like, I have the time to play it.
Right.
It's kind of like there's nothing else that's been out, like, that's coming out right now.
Right.
I'm kind of, like, to the point where, like, I want to shake things. I still want to play Destiny, but I'm, like, shaking things up with other games at the same time.
Yeah.
And like, this is getting me back into Battlefield. Like, and that's, I guess maybe that's another reason why I compare it to those Bad Company games.
Right.
Because, like, this actually feels like I'm having fun with this.
Yeah,
this,
like, if this was, you know, if Titanfall was coming out, I don't think Hardline would stand a chance, just because, you know, everyone wants that new thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. I mean, the only competition it really had was Evolve, came out like a couple weeks ago.
Right.
We haven't heard yet, but like, I don't think that did extremely huge numbers and has the player base that it could have possibly.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and you look at like this game and the fact that they delayed it out of November, I feel like that's a really good decision.
Right.
I mean, honestly, they probably did that via polish, but it's like, even just looking at the releases that happened in November, I mean, it's like there's a lot of things that dropped at that point. You know, you had the Advanced Warfare coming out, Master Chief Collection. I mean, there's just a lot of things that were competing for that marketplace and those holiday dollars.
Yeah.
And so moving it to now really opens up a lot of options for Battlefield. And I think if this one had failed, if this one had done really poorly, or if a lot of the players would probably be out. You know, it's a lot of people would have been like, hey, listen, you know, the two games have have done poorly or suck, you know, because it's like a lot of people had just problems with Battlefield 4 and launching in the state that it did. So with the stability and stuff. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think this did a really good job. I think it's moving forward. Do you guys want to rate this thing, or do you want to say, hey, yeah, is this a good value for your money? That sort of situation.
Yeah, sure. I say, like, yes, I'm enjoying this a lot. Honestly, like, as far as, like, the fun and everything I'm having with this multiplayer right now, like, I give this thing, the multiplayer component of Battlefield Hardline, a 9 out of 10.
Yeah. Well, and like, I would say, like, I'm there with you on, like, the fun that you have with it. And it's like, okay, so, yeah, go out and buy this if you have a group of people that are going to have it, that you're going to be able to play this with. Or if, you know, you know how to get some people playing with you or whatever. As far as, like, if you're just alone, like, you don't like being on a headset with people, you don't really like teamwork, you don't, whatever, I mean, maybe wait until the, we talk about the single player next week, to see if it's worth it. But, I mean, at this point, it's like, I'm really having a really good time with it, especially in some of the newer game modes, and I think it's a really good addition to this thing. Something that I didn't have on my radar before, which is Battlefield, it's definitely put this on my radar. So, I mean, I would rate the multiplayer portion of this probably a good solid 8.5. Yeah.
Yeah, I would, you know, just going back to the original games, you know, coming from such a huge... just the Battlefield franchise. I think it's a good step forward into kind of just stepping, you know, that branch to just kind of figure out and reassess to figure out what they kind of want to do next. I love, obviously, like you guys touched on, the new game types, just the how straight out of the gate, you know, other than the attacks that were on yesterday, but straight out of the gate, it's run flawless. I mean, it really has. Yeah. And
it's honestly like that's not been the story for any online multiplayers for the last few months, like since Destiny or whatever. Almost every single online multiplayer has had issues, except for this one. So that's good.
And if you're a guy like John said, if you're a guy that lone wolfs it, it's going to be kind of difficult for you, you know. But if on the other hand, if you're a guy that has good solid players that love playing FPSs, then, you know, this is definitely the new release for you. So I would you know, comparing this with the other Battlefields, I would rate this a solid 8.
Yeah.
Nice.
Something I didn't want to bring up was, how does this make us, how excited does this make us for, like, something like Battlefield or Battlefront, Star Wars?
Yeah.
Star Wars edition.
Star Wars Battlefront. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's another, I think DICE is doing Star Wars Battlefront. And yeah, it excites me a lot. It's kind of like, okay, like, I mean, but this is the thing, you know, it's different developers, you know, like, it's
can be vastly different.
It's EA is the only thing. It's the same publisher. And so you know, but then again, you know, like EA's published, you know, they published Titanfall last year. So like, you know, I mean, I'm excited for that. I don't know how related it is.
Right. And from an online stability standpoint, I guess I'm really excited about it and that sort of thing. But it's like, if they were to put Hotwire, but with Star Wars vehicles, like you're running around on a speeder bike.
Bunch of lightsabers shooting out of your vehicles, just cutting dudes in half.
Amazing.
Cool.
Amazing.
Yeah. That'd be super cool.
Yeah, anyway. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's definitely far enough away that, you know, it's something to look forward to, so.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I think that's it for this week. We are two episodes away.
Two episodes!
From episode 100.
100!
There are some epic plans in place.
Epic plans.
Can't wait.
Ike will be there.
Yeah. I will be.
Much thanks to Ike Elgard for being here.
Thank you, gentlemen, for having me.
What is your Twitter handle? Twiddle handle?
Twiddle handle.
Either one.
Twitter handle.
Twiddling his thumbs on the Twitter.
My Twitter handle is Elgard05.
Nice. We will follow you there. You can find me at ChrisWright250.
And me at JohnWright777.
And the podcast at Stay on Target Pod. You can find a lot of links and stuff like that we talked about earlier.
All the cool stuff.
Yep. At StayOnTargetPodcast.com. You can find us on iTunes and on
Stitcher.
Stitcher, yes. You can get that on your Android phone or iPhone.
If you're on Android or I guess you can get it. I have it on my phone.
Exactly. Stitcher. Yeah. So you can find us there as well. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.